Now, before you're seated, we are singing Alleluia. Savor the Alleluias, because first Sunday of Lent is next week. So, and prepare for the Alleluias today to come. Let it ring out. Let it ring out. We come to you, O Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in 3 days' time, we will gather on Ash Wednesday for the beginning of Lent, and we'll hear the church call us to a season of repentance and fasting. Here's the whole purpose of fasting that's set before us today. The purpose: to behold the beauty of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the goal of any fast. So remember this in Lent: when you struggle, when you fall, when you cave from your fasting discipline, beholding Jesus Christ is the goal of every fast. You and I, we crave beauty. It's a hunger, a thirst that only the beauty of Christ can satiate. You may have heard the novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky's famous saying, "Beauty will save the world." Dostoevsky also wrote that mankind can continue without science, can continue without bread, fasting. It is only without beauty that we cannot continue, for there will be nothing at all to do in the world. That's where the whole secret lies, he writes. That's where the whole of history lies. Indeed, that is the secret of the world. That's the secret of human history. Our craving for glory, the beauty of God. That craving is satisfied on Mount Tabor when our Lord Jesus is transfigured in his body. St. Luke says that as Jesus was praying, his face was altered, his clothing became dazzling white. There's a whole story wrapped up in just that verse. It goes all the way back in Scripture. Now, before we look at Scripture, the theologian Olivier Clément said, "Christianity is a religion of faces." Christianity is a religion of faces. Such is the Christian story that began in Eden. When God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, the Holy Spirit gave Adam life, but not in the way he created everything else. He did not give Adam life by speaking words. Now, with words, the Lord called the sky, the seas, animals, plants, and all things into being. But over Adam's body, after it was formed, he did not create Adam's life by a word, by saying to that body, "Let there be life." No. For Adam, the Spirit of God came close, hovered over that body, just like the Spirit hovered over all of creation, and then the Spirit of God descended over Adam, face to face, breathed into his nostrils, breath that gave Adam his soul. And because God created in this way and no other, we have a mystery that is disclosed in the body, in the soul. The face expresses the spiritual heart. The face expresses the heart. Jesus said as much in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "The eye is the lamp of the body." We could recall, too, the words of the psalmist that describes Adam and Eve before their fall. "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed." Adam and Eve did not know shame before their fall. In fact, St. Ephrem the Syrian said, it was because the glory in which they were wrapped, the very light of God, this is the reason why they walked in the garden unashamed. The light of God that clothed them. On this last season, or last Sunday in Epiphany, Epiphany is known as the season of light. It's known also to us as a season of mission. We celebrated World Mission Sunday last Sunday, And we cherish the calling to mission as Anglicans. Well, guess what? Beauty and glory were God's mission from the beginning. To shine the heaviness, that's what the word glory means, by the way, to shine the heaviness of God's majesty, his holiness, his mercy, his joy, his love upon men and women made in his image. That's his mission. And when we turned our faces away from him, the craving for beauty does not go away. It becomes disordered. And when we seek beauty apart from God, inevitably it means that we try to manufacture our own beauty. And so what happens and what has happened is we elevate physical beauty as we perceive it, and we discard spiritual beauty. We make idols of the stuff of this world, exchanging the glory of the immortal God, as St. Paul said, worshiping and serving creatures rather than the Creator. And when we turn our face away from the Lord, God does not abandon his mission to shine his beauty upon us. He is the Lord, he said, who will not give his glory to carved idols, like Isaiah said. He will redeem us with his beauty. And so after the Lord rescues Israel from Egypt, he brings them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And then he calls one, Moses, to meet with the Lord face to face. As we read from Exodus moments ago, after Moses had been in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and nights, it says the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Notice this, though. This is beautiful of itself. Moses didn't know his face was shining. He didn't know the glory of God radiated from his face. When you're in the glory of God and in his presence, you're not thinking of yourself. Our glory means nothing when you're facing him. Moses was so immersed in the splendor of God's presence, he's not thinking of his own glory. And yet, when he returns to his people, goes down the mountain, his countenance is so radiant that Aaron, the one appointed to be high priest, and then all the tribes of Israel, they're afraid of him. And here's where, good Anglicans, we cannot hope to resist a quotation from our beloved C.S. Lewis. It's not the Aslan quote that we all love, but it's the next most oft-quoted line from Lewis, who said, "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object present to your senses." So luminous was Moses' face after speaking with God, Israel could not look on him unless he wore a veil. Such is the weight of beauty of the one who is in the presence of God. And perhaps because of Sinai, this is why the remainder of the whole Old Testament is a chronicle of yearning, of an ache to be in the beauty of God after having lost it so tremendously. You hear it in the high priestly prayer of Aaron, who proclaims over Israel, "The face of the Lord is what they desire above all things. The Lord, you know it, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." You look at the Psalms, they're soaked with prayers to behold the beauty of God, to seek his face continually. King David had one desire. He said, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." All the prayers of the Old Testament, Psalms, all the centuries of yearning to behold the beauty of God as our first parents did in Eden, they're all answered, all the prayers on Mount Tabor in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beauty we were created to behold. And it's the only beauty that satisfies our longing. This is the mountain of transfiguration where we see not only, actually, Jesus' true nature, that he is, as St. John said, the glory of the Father. Guess what? Here's where we discover the meaning of our existence as well. Jesus reveals the glory of God in a body, a human body, just like ours. We were meant to radiate the splendor of God's holiness, not just in soul, but body and soul together. And in the face, remember, expresses the spiritual heart. The heart is meant to become just like Mount Sinai, that place that is burning with the glory of God's presence, though not consumed. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "God, who said from the beginning, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Looking at Luke's story, we just note two simple but tremendously significant aspects of our Lord's transfiguration. Because witnessing our Lord's beauty is not only a feast of the soul, Christ Jesus forever redefined beauty on Mount Tabor. We who live in this age that is saturated with images and glitter and the age of the show, the age of Instagram and influencers, of making our image into a personal brand, we must recognize the emptiness of this world, its empty glories. If we are going to encounter the eternal beauty that is on the face of Jesus Christ. So firstly, note that when Jesus' face is altered, what Luke says, note that the transfiguration happens while he is praying. As he is turned face to face to the voice of the Father. Secondly, notice the kind of conversation, the subject of the conversation that transpires between Moses and Elijah when they appear speaking with the Lord. We get to overhear that conversation, not in its specifics, but in its topic. With the light of God that is shining all around that put Peter, James, and John to their faces, the Lord, Moses, and Elijah speak about the Lord's coming departure. Now Luke says, after 8 days that they were speaking of these things, that's a clue that that's important. You see, before Jesus summoned Peter, James, and John up the mountain, the last thing that Christ spoke about to his disciples was what? Take up your cross. And then he speaks about taking up their cross, and he takes them up the mountain. And now the Lord is speaking about the cross with Moses and Elijah. And here's where we must just ask a common sense question. What kind of collision is happening? What kind of dissonance? What place does the horror of crucifixion have when you have the uncreated light of God shining all around? Why would you talk about this in that moment? You see, what we witness, my brother and sister, on this mountain is not only the transfiguration of Lord in that of our Lord in that moment, we are seeing the transfiguration of beauty itself. Our old notions of beauty so assigned to only physical things. Our old notions of beauty, they're being crucified on Mount Tabor. Jesus' face is radiant, not only because his face is always turned towards his Father. His countenance is glorious because his desire is to leave Mount Tabor. Because he is turning his face toward Mount Golgotha. Because of Mount Tabor, beauty will forever thereafter be revealed by self-emptying love. Greater beauty has no one than this, than that the Lord of glory, dazzling white, his face shining, would leave that mountain to lay down his life for his friends, that they would be redeemed. And this, my brother and sister, is how we become beautiful, not only in soul, but in our bodies. This is how the light of God shines on our faces. It's when we take up our cross. When we are willing to lose our life for his sake so that we would find it. That is when we are wrapped in the light of God. That's when the glory of God is shining on us. And today, by the grace and the goodness of God, we have four children of God coming to baptism. Andrew, Maverick, Luke, Bethany. You know, our church fathers, they called baptism the sacrament of illumination. Not just intellectual illumination. That's why the church is clothed in white. Because her sons and daughters are being clothed by the glory of God when they come to baptism. In other words, they too become beautiful by facing the cross. For the waters of baptism in which they descend, they are a figure of the tomb. But the water also, as the Father said, is also a womb of glory and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, in our liturgy, so vital, after they rise from the water, the anointing. Where? It has to be on the face. In what shape? It has to be the sign of the cross. The seal of the Holy Spirit. That's the mission of God, you see, from the beginning. To make our faces shine forever with the light, the beauty, the presence of God given in the Holy Spirit. Remember the Psalms. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. And all for the glory of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.